What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and I'm here to talk to you about Two Loss Distribution. They are one of the most technologically advanced distributors in music. They distribute to more stores than any of the distributors around. They distribute, they give you 100% of your royalties. They only charge you $3 a month, and you have an instant option to get an advance from these guys. So if you're watching this and you want to be in the music business and you're trying to figure out how to get help, I'm here to tell you, go to twoloss.com and use the word GODS as your coupon code, and you get the first 3 months free. What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee.
And I'm Rick the Negotiator.
And this is The God Show. Let's go! And today, if you don't, before we get into it, shout out to our sponsors, Two Loss. If you need distribution, fuck with Two Loss. Use my code. Get 3 months off. It's a beautiful thing. They don't charge you anything. Tote and carry. If you need luxury bags, luggage, that's them. H2O, KL H2O, water, and Yoko Vodka by my bro Polo the Don. Like, share, subscribe. I got to do this. I don't want to do this, but do this. Like, share, subscribe, all that shit so these guys will leave me alone. And now, guys, this is Women's Month, and I wanted to do something for ladies, and I felt like the only role model, if I had an 18-year-old daughter, I would want to mentor my child, and I know guys are going to be coming around, and she's going to be like, no, nigga, not that one. I know she knows how to be a boss. She protects all girls. She's everybody's sister. And we're going to figure out how she does it for all the ladies. So my special guest for Women's Month is Aisha T. Obafemi. Let's give it a phone, guys. That was my Arsenio Hall impersonation. I don't know if you guys caught me. He would like say, yep,
go. I loved it, Ray. I loved it.
Thank you. I'm trying, Aisha, trying. But I wanted to talk to you, Aisha, because since the day I met you, I always loved you. I always wanted to be your brother. It's like the day I met you, I wish my sister hung around you so she could.
And now she's my sister.
I know, but the way you move, how you can be in the room with all these powerful people, everyone loves you. No one says anything bad. You're the only person I've never heard nothing bad about. Never. Like, and then it got to be like bad, but it could be like, yo.
They'll say I'm mean.
Jeff don't play. They never said that. They'll say Jeff don't play. That's the only thing. That's on the hip. Hey, you can laugh with him all you want, but he don't play. I've never heard anything bad. How are you able to move through this business as a woman? And one more thing I got to say, we was in New Orleans and we was on our way to the All-Star game. Shout out to them. They got me tickets. Don't hit me. That's the plug.
Don't hit me either.
And we was going to the game. We was having the time of our lives. And then Aisha was like, this is my man. And I was like, oh, wow, you are a woman. Like, you do supposed to have a personal life. And I was, like, kind of weird for myself because I'm like, nigga, you think she was human? I'm like, I never saw you be anything outside of the person you are and move through these men, and they all love you. Where you get that from?
My mama.
I need to hear more. You're a lot of people mamas out here. You're a lot of people mamas well, out here.
My mama is, one of one. And, her birthday was March 6th, her 76th heavenly
Heavenly birthday.
And I think it was because of the way I was raised, mm-hmm. Being the child of revolutionaries.
I can't wait to get into that.
Always having, pride in who I am, uh-huh. where I come from, uh-huh. and not recognizing anyone as better than me because we're all the same. I like to tell my children, my daughters, I have two daughters, twin daughters.
Their names, tell us their names.
Camila and Jamila.
Well, Camila's here.
Yes.
She's standing right there. Yeah. Camila ain't going to say nothing crazy. I love your mama. She got that look in her eye like.
But I've always told them, celebrities are just people who more people know.
We need to hear that for everybody. Everybody need to hear that. Say that one more time.
Celebrities are just people that more people know.
They're just like you.
They're still people. Yep. Just they like hurt. You. They have pain. They suffer from different illnesses and mm-hmm. things. Sometimes they don't want to be outside. Sometimes they want to be alone, mm-hmm. just like we all do.
Yep.
So being able to maneuver in these rooms is just my strength of character.
Was it an intentional strategy or was it just kind of like who you were?
It's definitely who I am.
I would say, because remember, when me and you, last time we was in L.A., at the Money Long thing. Yes. Remember I whispered to you, yep. right? I was like, so I, first of all, Shaka Zulu and Jeff Dixon, her brothers, and Jay, love all her brothers. They all come by the house. She come by, they play cards. Like, that's like, y'all are family. And we walked into, Money Long has an event, and we walked into the room, and I just watched y'all. And I was like, Jeff's in a corner, not smiling. Staring at everything, making everything.
Sounds like Jeff.
Shaka's working the room. Shaka speaking to everybody. What's up? What's up? And then you look for Aisha. And Aisha was sitting next to somebody that was very important. And I was like, they got the whole fucking room under control in this motherfucker. Everybody, it's like everybody knew their position, right? So like while the music is playing, Aisha right there, even if she got an elbow, you see what they saying? Shaka's working the room and Jeff's watching the room. I was like, this has to be a strategy because I caught it and I'm like, wow, I wish I could move like that. Like, I wish I had a nigga that was in the corner that just stared. And my sister was over there making sure everybody knew the messaging. And I could work the room. I always thought it was intentional. It wasn't?
It's intentional.
I already said, gotta be. You know, I say that because you're the mother nurturer of the crew. So I don't care how you feel about Jeff. I don't care how you feel about Shaka. You can't feel nothing about them when you meet you. Because you love everybody, you hug everybody. So it's like, niggas got an angel in the room just working it to make sure. That shit is so beautiful. And I want to give y'all props for that because I admire your family. I love your family.
We love you too.
The most beautiful funeral I've ever been to was her dad's funeral.
We didn't even call it a funeral.
It wasn't even a funeral.
A celebration of life.
A celebration of life. Mm-hmm. The most beautiful celebration of life I've ever been to was their dad's funeral, celebration of life. And I remember they were saying like Panther chants. And I remember being so jealous, like, I don't know a fucking Panther chant. Camilla, you know a Panther chant? You know Panther chant, don't you? I want to know a Panther chant. Like, the Black Panthers is legendary. I want to be able to say. What was y'all saying to the people? What would you say?
So, probably Free the Land.
Free the Land.
So,
yeah.
And just to be clear, all of my parents were revolutionaries, and I have more than just my two birth parents.
For sure.
So, my biological father was not a Black Panther. He was a citizen of the Republic of New Africa, but
oh wow,
you know, collaboration with the Panthers, yeah. worked closely with them, yeah. so all together. So my mom, aunts and uncles, and my second dad, mm-hmm. they are all Black Panthers as well as citizens of the Republic of New Africa, and you know, some other organizations.
You look at citizens of the Republic of New Africa, it's like when mother can say that, right? Pull the police, some police say something to you. How you doing? I'm a citizen of the Republic of New Africa. Man, just go.
And I think that's a part of
it. I say, just go. I ain't gonna fuck with you, man. I don't want to bother you, and I know it's good.
That's a part of our superpower.
See, they're stepping in the room to make sure your mic is right. Thank you, Aaron.
That's a part of our superpower and just always being comfortable with who we are and where we come from. Because a lot of people probably wouldn't expect that.
Shaka, and I went to New Orleans. We was in New Orleans that All-Star weekend. I didn't know that Shaka lived in New Orleans at some point in time.
Yeah,
New Orleans is second home. Manny Fresh. I didn't know none of this.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
He was in middle school with Mystical. I met Manny Fresh in ninth grade because if you know who Gregory D is.
No.
Gregory D is the first rapper from New Orleans who, you know, made a name for himself.
Mm-hmm.
We went to start at high school together in the ninth grade. I met Manny Fresh in the ninth grade.
That's great.
Because he was his DJ.
Yes. The history. So you guys inspired me to want to write children's books. Shaka, I don't know if you ever told you this, but when Shaka would tell me, like, you guys were like, when he was in New Orleans, he would be the guy on the side of the street selling stuff, like, mm-hmm. with his dad. He was like, my dad would make us go mm-hmm. out here and sell shit. And I was like, man, you probably was getting laughed at. He was like, yeah, but nigga taught me how to hustle. I was like, man, mm-hmm. if kids knew that things their parents taught them were... It might not like it. It's like mm-hmm. wax on, wax off. I know you tired of washing mm-hmm. the car, but I'm showing you how to defend yeah. yourself. So when he told me that, I went to write a book because I was like, man, that's an inspiring story. But you guys grew up as Panthers.
Yes.
I've been jealous of y'all twice. One time was when I went to the Money Long thing. And I was like, wow, nobody can fuck with them. And the second time was when I watched Judas and the Messiah. What's the movie? About Fred.
Yeah, Judas and the Messiah.
Judas and the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched the Panthers installing confidence in the kids. It was a scene where they're like, I'm this, I'm that. And they're like, I'm powerful. And the kids would be. And I was like, I left the theater, I called Shaka. I was like, you grew up like that? He's like, yeah, now I know all that shit. I was like, man, look, what would my life be if I had somebody doing that to me? Just telling me, like, you are powerful. You are great. The Black man is like, what would I be? So I'm like, I just had to say that I'm jealous of y'all for those two. Aww. But because of that now, how was it being a, like growing up as a kid in that movement?
I mean, I wouldn't change it. I think it was a blessing. I think that it has definitely made me who I am.
Sure.
And it also taught us how to take control of our destiny and not to count on anyone else. Because we were made fun of.
I could imagine.
For our names, for our natural hair. I've had my nose pierced since I was 3.
Mm. Since you were 3?
I asked my mother.
Tupac with a nose ring.
I love it.
So I can say he copied off of me.
Tupac copied her. I love that.
My cousin copied off of me. But yeah, so those things, dressing in African garb, but always being prideful. Always. But like, see, I never felt like.
I want to tell you something.
There was anything wrong with it.
I grew up in my neighborhood, those African kids that family had a thing was mm-hmm. Bocce. Bocce's mm-hmm. like Bocce, K Bocce. They mm-hmm. they had a store next to the discount mall. That's why I've been on Pat since we was like little boys, okay. like 12, 13, 14. And look at how they're hustling. So then mm-hmm. I think Americans, and I can say this as someone, I think the making fun of you was more because we don't have nothing to be proud of.
Yeah.
So we don't have pride. We feel like we ain't shit. So here you come acting like, I'm proud to be African. I'm proud to be this. I'm proud. And we're like, we don't know what to do besides laugh and make fun. Because I remember Bocce being a kid, it was like you used to laugh at the African store, but you was kids. You don't know no better. So, and look at Charles the Immigrant. Children of immigrants run this. Black kids run this world. If you're a child of an immigrant, I don't know what it is. And I was jealous of that. I was always jealous of that as an adult, because as a kid, I was like, I don't have nobody put confidence in me. Nobody told me I could be something. So watching y'all get it, it was like, that's beautiful, man. And I know you do it for your kids. I know, because y'all are like a tight-knit family. Like the whole family is in the music business. Camilla, do you feel like you're in the music business?
Am I in the music business?
Do you feel like you are?
Somewhat.
Yeah, you can't help it, right?
Okay, so she's being very modest right now.
Okay. What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. the Culture Referee. And if you're wondering who this beautiful woman sitting next to me is my sister, Tiffany Daniels Sy. Let's give it up for my sister. Everybody can clap. This is good. And my sister is, she's the most talented person in the family. And we started a family business, a signature scent company. So if you like smoke a lot of weed in your car and you want to get the scent out, you have to check out these scents. I know guys that use it for the weed. I know people that use it for cologne and everywhere they go to get compliments. We make candles. We make
room sprays. We got them in kits. So if you want to buy something for your loved one or anybody, you know, that you care about, hit us up, LorraineCo.com.
And we're going to put the website at the bottom of it. But support this black business, support this black woman, and order, I promise you guys. And matter of fact, use the word gods, and we'll give you 15% off. I just made that up, so if my sister's face looks crazy, don't get mad at her. I'll eat that. But guys, when I tell you this shit is incredible, you really should check this out.
The best scents ever.
LorraineCo.com, and we'll put it at the bottom of the screen. Thank you.
Thanks.
So what I will say about my daughters, and both of them,
uh-huh.
and just like Chaka's daughter, my niece,
yeah,
she sings. My sister's daughter sings, and she's at LVRN.
Well, in the music, and by the way, LVRN, Children of Immigrants, all of them.
Yeah, and that's family. So you know when
Sean
I said
Tunde for sure.
She wanted to go somewhere, I said you gonna go over here because yep. I know them.
Then I tell you, I have my mentor, my daughter. Would you say? Say it.
And they know I will.
Run up in this motherfucker if somebody fucking my daughter.
That's right.
That's why I just said.
And every time I see them all, Camilla's love. Doing so good. And then I'm like, I know I sent her to the right place.
Yes. Camilla, you're lucky. somebody has to tell you because you, like, somebody has to tell my kids. They don't realize it. They're like, this is just my dad. What are you talking about?
Because the family business is there. You know, DTP's there. I was like, why don't you do, I said, go over here.
Yeah.
You know, and it's still family.
Exactly. And learn. And by the way, Tunde and Sean Famoso learned. Under y'all.
Yes.
Because they was under me for years, and then I was the same guy they talked to. And then they hit me saying, yo, Shaka and Jeff want us to run their stuff. And I was like, y'all should do it.
Yep.
But learn the system.
And that's exactly what
that's
they
what
did.
Exactly what they did. So that's how they built LVRN. By the way,
business for themselves.
By the way, in Atlanta, there's a lot of DTP juniors around this motherfucker.
Oh, yeah.
That are running companies. A whole lot. I was jealous of them. Cause I wanted to be one so bad. I think I scared Shaka. Man. Oh, me the last one. I scared Shaka. I know I walked up to him at the Sierra Field Mop video.
Oh, so what? Wow. So what?
'05. I know the year was.
Oh,
it was '05.
My God.
You don't have to tell me because I just got my check. And I was feeling good. And I walked up to Shaka. The first time I said something to him, I was like, I'm in the music business now. And I got a check, man. But I quit to come intern for you. And he was like, yeah, we'll get into it. And I was like, yeah. I was so excited. Like, I called that nigga for 2 years. I ain't tried to chase that nigga. I've been one time. I knew it was different because I saw him in Gladys Knight's Chicken and Waffles when that was open. He saw me. Nigga just did like that. I was like, I gotta find another route to this nigga. You gonna be my friend, bro. You are gonna be my friend. And then I met Jeff, and Jeff was like, I like this little nigga. And it was a good that phone call.
That was it.
You gotta, well, find, you gotta find a way in. You met
if
Jeff.
You get, listen.
You get in.
If you get Jeff, you out.
That's not easy.
You,
right.
You got, you, so Jeff was not, like, so. By the way, I said the same thing to him. I said, this is 08 now. No, 07. Rock City just started taking off. We just started making some money. And I was like, man, I ain't gonna lie. Man, I told your brother in 05. I'm telling you now, I'll work for him. He was like, you don't gotta work for us. Nigga, you good. You got
just
it.
Come, yeah.
By the way, I said that on the show. I sent that clip to Jeff, and I was like, I just want you to know, people tell you shit, but I really meant that. When Jeff told me I could do it, that's all I needed. That's when I knew the importance of, like, father figure, because it was like somebody who I didn't know that does it. It was like, nigga, you don't,
yeah,
need to work.
Yeah, just somebody
us.
Who's going to reach it. Back. Like, you know, one of the things that we are all good at,
mm-hmm,
is fostering and building relationships and maintaining those relationships. Because it's not about us, and what I have doesn't belong to me, any of us. It's for me to, what is for you is for you. So you can't take nothing from me. You know what I mean? Like, whatever you ask me questions, I'm going to answer them, you know? And that's just one of the things that I feel is important and that people are missing. Like,
yeah.
Why do you think you own something and that you should just hold tight to it? It just doesn't make sense to
entitlement.
Me.
Entitlement.
Yeah.
It's a sense of entitlement. Yeah.
Entitlement.
The third thing. I'm jealous of this last thing.
Is another one?
By the way, I feel like everybody in this room should be jealous of this one. You grew up with Tupac. That was your cousin.
Yes.
Do you understand something? Tupac, when I was 14 years old, Tupac Me Against the World album got me through life. I'm not afraid to talk because of a line he says where he says, even a genius asks questions, be grateful for blessings. And that made me have confidence to not be afraid to talk because I'm like, damn, even Jesus asked a question. You could ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
How was it like growing up with Tupac? Can you tell us about that? Because you have a book that you wrote, but yes. I want to, can you tell us a little bit about that? By the way, you don't have to tell them. Tell me, I want to know. Why, nigga, you grew up with Tupac?
Well, I mean, you know, coming from, so let's, before I even answer that, I'm just going to, just a little bit of history.
Please.
Of how I grew up. So, I was born in 1967. I know I look like I was just born 20 years ago. But anyway.
Pop was, you do look good. Pop was going to June 1, 1971.
You know, black don't crack.
It ain't cracking right now. We looking at it.
My mother sang with Mary McCabe and Nina Simone.
Okay.
So I traveled with her when I was young, all the way up through.
See, Camilla?
My second dad is an original member of Gil Scott-Heron's Midnight Band. So I was always in those circles. And my biological father won Showtime at the Apollo, was friends with Frankie Lyman, you know, had some doo-wop groups he was the lead singer of. So we come from this.
Yes.
We grew up in music.
Royalty. And so, a black royal, you know, family of music.
Then having famous cousins, plural, because on one side this Pac, and then Grand Poobah on my daddy's side.
We just interviewed Lord Jamar, by the way. He told us that Jeff Dixon
managed
me in Oz. He said, I called Jeff like, yo, I want to be in fucking movies. And Jeff was like, I got you.
Yeah.
So Grand Poobah's on one side, and Pac is on the other.
Yeah. So amazing. I mean, you know, but it's just all family. So Poobah is my big cousin. Pac, I'm his big cousin.
Yes.
And so in essence, they were cousins, you know, they had a relationship and everything too. But Pac, I mean, he was the pain in the ass, you know, child. You know, like to run around and just wild. Just always wild.
Yeah.
But loving, very loving. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I hate to hear when people say, oh my God, that Gemini, you know, he had two sides. And I'd be like, I don't know what the fuck y'all talking about.
I don't see it.
I ain't never seen no two sides.
It was one nigga.
He didn't act, right. He didn't act no.
Whatever the
He was young, you know, so you're doing these things. And I said something to somebody the other day, they were talking. And I said, think about what you were doing when you were 21, 22.
Yes,
that
man.
People couldn't see. He was like, oh. I said, yeah. I said, at the height of his celebrity, he was 21, 22.
And he died at 25, right?
25. Yes.
Like, nigga, 25, I got my first check.
Like, so think about that.
He was already running, things he was doing,
yeah. You know, mistakes he was making in public and different things that people wanted to talk about. He was just being his young self, trying to, you know, figure it out and finding his way, but always taking accountability for his own actions.
Yes.
That's the one thing that you can never take away from him. He took accountability for his actions.
So when he's, like, when he's Pac, like, what is that dynamic? Like, because the one thing about Tupac that I see from you guys is he had so much discipline.
Definitely.
Like, as much as people thought he was sloppy, he wasn't.
No.
He didn't have disciplined people around him. That's what, it probably was that, because he was, like you said, like, nigga, I'm 44, my nigga. Like, this nigga was 21, 22, leading the world.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about the fact that a 21-year-old was guiding me. That's what I'm like, even when I think about it, because you know when you're a kid, everybody's an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't know the idea of, like, that's a 30-year-old adult, that's a 40-year-old adult. They all adults when you're 13.
But it puts it in perspective when you think about what you were doing at 21 and 22.
No, I'm thinking about when I was 14, he was 21. So I'm learning from a 21-year-old shit that my mother didn't even teach me. Shit that, like, I promise you, he got me through at 14, 15, 16, from straight balling to How Long They Mourn Me to Part of Little. It was all those songs were the soundtrack of my childhood. And it felt like I was listening to a 35-year-old man.
Yeah.
And then you like, damn, he was 21.
Yeah.
That's crazy, bro.
Yeah.
That's the most incredible part about him.
Yeah.
Is that he was so young. Not what he did. It was like, nigga, if he did that at 40, if I stopped being a revolutionary, it's like, that's shocking. But nigga, you a man. You 21 being a revolutionary? That's incredible. I ain't gonna lie, I'm jealous. That's the last thing I'm jealous of. So when he's on, how is that for you guys? Because for you, not you guys, I'm asking particularly about you, because you have this mama bear protective energy. Now you're seeing your little cousin.
I always had it. I'm still. About
to say, yeah.
And it was interesting. So during that time, it was like all the family was kind of making these moves, doing these things. Chaka was on the radio here in Atlanta. Jeff was with Pooba and Brand Nubians, and I was actually an executive for Scratch Me Productions, which was X-Clan, ISIS, Queen.
By the way,
we're
going to cut
it.
Aaron, we're going to cut that scene of her and the X-Clan video.
No question.
Not to be confused with Poison Clan.
I was in a few of those videos. The main one I think you can see me most is in Fire and Earth. Shout out to Ralph McDaniels, because he shot all of the videos for us back in the
crazy
day.
Crazy. You know what I'm saying?
So yeah, I mean, it was a time that we were all happy to, you know, be doing what we were doing. But Pac was always Pac to me.
So he was always like your little cousin,
yeah.
Who was, you never seen a superstar?
No,
you couldn't understand it.
It was funny because I used to tell him, like, don't nobody think you cute.
Yeah,
he's like, all these ladies. Well, I said, I don't know nobody want you.
Get out!
You are not cute. I used to tell him
women
that.
Women love him.
I know. I have friends who say, oh my God, you never told me. I'm like, we were younger then and he wasn't Tupac. Like, he was just Tupac, my cousin. Like, I'm supposed to just know that Tupac, my cousins don't become Tupac. Who y'all? That's right. Tupac. I'm like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, like, shit, we would have signed him. We would have helped him. We would have had him around. Right. Like, we was letting him be free. It's like, I'm little sorry. Cousin, like, what are you going to do? Little ass. You know what I'm saying? Then he a man now. And I was
when
like,
he was on
really
same song,
that.
When I tell you, I was so proud.
He was?
So, I was like, that's right.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was like him doing that. And then Mopreme, when he was on Tony Feels Good. You know, Mopreme was Mercedes DeMello.
Mercedes DeMello.
Wait, hold on.
Acapella.
That's Mopreme?
Yes. Mercedes DeMello.
Wow.
Hold on. Who is he, though?
Mopreme?
Yes.
Is Pac's brother.
Okay, let me tell you why I say that.
Thug Life and my uncle Matula Shakur's.
I didn't know Pac had siblings. I thought he had a sister. I didn't know he had a brother.
So we don't half and we don't step in our family.
I love that.
So my uncle Matula Shakur. And rest his soul, he passed last year. He was Pac's father and Mopreme's biological father. And so they were always close. And then the Thug Life, Mopreme is part of the
group. Know that. You know, what's Deion Cole, the comedian?
Mm-hmm.
That's a part. That's one of his jokes.
What did he say?
Yeah, he says he was like, you know, he was basically saying, like, what about Tasha? And everybody's like, who is Tasha? Like, y'all know music. I know Tasha. And he was like, it's Doug is Ruggish Bone. Then he's like, it's me, Tasha. And then he said, what about Mercedes? And everybody's like, who's that? He's like, me, Mercedes. And I remember it was like, yeah, what happened to him? It was kind of like,
hit, still
people
around.
That were on hit records that we just didn't know
because they are.
It was kind of like they had a, he was just really talking about how like, y'all be forgetting about niggas. Don't forget Tasha. She said her name. And it was like kind of that joke. So he's like, but he has, that's yeah. I seen him live and he did that. And I mean, that's why I rapped the verse. I'm like, damn, what the fuck did happen to Mercedes?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
He became Mo Preem.
He was Mo Preem. There we go. Now we got the answer. I would have yelled that shit. He's Mo Preem now. He was in the whole motherfucker. It was a State Farm Arena.
Because I don't think a lot of people do realize.
Nobody
they don't
knows
know
that.
That Mercedes and Mo Preem are the same. They don't know.
So Mercedes is, Mo Preem is your family.
Yeah.
Because that's Pac's brother. And I didn't know that. That's crazy. So Pac got on before him, or was he on?
He was on. It was almost, he was first with that, but they were both working the same time. Cause you know, Pac was a roadie for Digital for.
So that's both about 90, 91.
Yeah.
Give or take.
Yeah. And that it was, like all the same time. And then I'm doing it on my end. Jeff is doing it. And Chaka's here on the radio in Atlanta.
So I'm sorry. I'm like really interested. What is your position at the peak of Pac, All Eyes on Me moment? Like, because I know you, and I've been around y'all, and y'all are militant as fuck. Y'all don't play.
How, I mean, I just did,
Like, how was that for y'all? Like, watching him, because I think anybody could see this ain't going to be good, because I remember watching him on MTV Jams, and he was like, I'm rich now. I'm on. He was like, I'm on now. I'm back. And he was like, I think he might have said, I ain't told me I got my money right. My money right now. I was like, oh, he ready to come. He coming back for, he coming at everybody. How did y'all deal? What was your position then?
Telling him to be careful.
Yeah. By the way, did everybody watch your pause? If you're watching this, did y'all see a pause? I'm
telling
only saying
to be
that because
careful.
That's how militant they are.
And like, paying attention to what's happening around, and that's, you know, when things start happening, it's just,
So what is, so what are you, what story are you telling in the book?
Okay, so this book, interestingly enough, it's not just me. So when Pac passed, I couldn't really talk about it.
Yes.
I still have a bag with two empty scrapbooks and a bunch of clippings and magazine articles and things that I was going to put together that I never did. So a couple of years before the 25th anniversary of his death and his 50th birthday, I decided that I needed to do something to honor. And, you know, I was asking out loud, and I think he put it on me to do a book. So this book, I share some of my thoughts, you know, and I share a letter that I wrote to him for his 40th birthday. And I asked a bunch of people who are family to me to contribute, and they all agreed. So Sway Calloway did the foreword for me.
Shout out to Sway. He has the answers now.
Yes, he does have the answers.
I love Sway. I love Sway.
My cousin Seth, Pac's sister, did the afterword. And then there's, in this book, it's Angie Martinez, D Nice, Bun B, Omari Hardwick, David Banner, Money B.
And they're just telling it, they're like writing their perspective on how they saw Pac.
Yeah, they're sharing like stories about him, people who didn't meet him who are in this book, like Childish Major and Mac Wilds share how he impacted them. Shanti's in this book, April Walker, so many people. You know, April Walker is from founder of Walkaware, and you know, her and Pac had a really, really close relationship, and so she shares. And they just share like who he is, what he meant to them, how he touched people, and just, I wanted people to just know more about who he is and not just what you're told.
Because I ain't gonna lie to you, that documentary that the Hughes brothers did,
Dear Mama.
When you heard the story, you know, like, I'm a kid. You heard Pac shot police. You know, nigga, when nigga, Pac shot the police. Nigga, nobody harder than that. But when you hear the story, and, you know, I don't know if, well, this is going to sound really crazy, but if you ain't never really shot nobody or shot a target, it's really hard to hit something. Just like, that's why nigga be shooting. That's why random people get hit. I always thought about that. Like, in the middle of a shootout, it's hard to hit the person. Especially if they running, you got to be able to shoot. And they said he got on his knee. I was like, this nigga from the military. They said he got on one knee, and he By the way, that's the part of the story that I'm like, did nobody understand that part? Like, to hit a nigga, I'm going to get on. To have the world thought to say they running, hold on, I got this. Right. You know how confident you got being yourself to do that to a nigga running away from you? Nigga, I got it. Everybody chill. Let me get on my knee.
Right.
So I was like, that's some Black Panther shit. That's the part that. What 18, 19, 20 year old kid know how to do that unless his mother, father, family, uncle said, this is how we protect ourselves around.
Training is important.
See? Shit like that.
Right.
What the fuck does that even mean? Right. What the fuck does that even mean? That's the type of shit they say to me that I'm like, this is my caught that. Mm-hmm. Training is important. Yeah, yeah, let's keep. Nah, hold on. What the fuck? What did you get
training for?
I'm just imagining walking in and everybody got the kids on their knees. Practice is shooting. And they're like, what's going on? Oh, they training. For what? It's a kid war coming to something. It's going to be a youth war. If it is, we ready for that shit. I'll tell you that much. I love that. Training. So you guys, did you train?
Of course.
Ricky, you ask a question. I mean, I can do something. I'm like,
what you got?
I'm like, she looks at me like, nigga, what the fuck? Man,
you
can't say you scared. I know how to kill a nigga.
And what? Rick, how long have you known me? And you probably never hear, you're just hearing some of this stuff.
It's been definitely at least almost 20 years.
Yeah.
At least that, since I was just starting in the music business. Real funny story about that. I started out working with Alicia Keys and Jeff Robinson, and started a DJ crew called The Union with some friends of mine, DJ Self, DJ Will, et cetera. And I remember there was a story that Jeff was chewing out Steve Bartles and a few other people in the office, right? This is a true story. And this is actually how I got the Def Jam job. So this is crazy. This is a real deal story. So apparently, you know, the street people, different things, they just weren't up to par. And Jeff was letting him have it, you know, one of his tirades. He was like, listen, man, my man is straight. I don't need y'all, man. I got my people out there and they got this. I got called 2 days later. Next, you know, we need to meet. And a week later, I was hired.
Mm.
So when, you know, you're talking about a family that doesn't play, you know, they're about their business, but great, great people. And, you know, they help add to and help jumpstart this young man's career as well. So
No, they did. I remember Def Jam Office. Being in the office.
27th, 28th floor. You know it.
Jeff was in there chewing Al Branch out. That's a dab at Al Branch. That's a dab at Al Branch.
The day you
and
met
Al Branch. Because I guess Al Branch just got assigned to Luda. I don't know what Al Branch is. By the way, I love the music business. Like, I miss this part of the business. I miss that business. There's no more yelling in the offices. Nah. You yell a nigga now, they going to the police. I am offended. I miss the days where niggas was like, cuck you. So I walk in the room, so I don't know what Al Branch is. And Jeff just kind of like, yo, Ray, you sit down. I sat next to Lil Jeff. He was in high school. And Jeff was like, yeah, man. So he going and he's like, because y'all do that for Kanye. And I was like, why does he keep focusing on Kanye? Like, because when you do that for when Kanye, and I was like this. So I was like, yo, but Jeff, I'm going to do what I do for Luda. None got to do with nothing. Yeah, but you're on Kanye management team. How that's going to work? And I'm like, that was just incredible to me. Like watching them go back and forth. And it was like, because, you know, when you come into the music business, you don't really know the lingo. You don't know if I don't want to say the wrong thing. This is my dream. I don't want to get kicked out the club saying the wrong thing day two. I'm just shutting the fuck up watching. And I'm watching Jeff go at it with Al. And that's how I met Al. So we got cool. And Jeff was like, man, you can't let these people. By the way, I don't give a fuck if you want the lesson or not. Let me tell y'all something.
Right. You're going to get it.
You're going to get it.
I don't give a fuck if you ask for the lesson or not. Camilla, am I right? Your uncle, he's going to give you the lesson. He's gonna take over. He's gonna tell you, stop. See? Stop. Listen. You don't know. He's talking that Atlanta shit. You know, he's like, you wanna chat on that Atlanta shit? See? You forgot. You know, man, bro, I would fly to fucking Afghanistan to sit out with Jeff on camera. Just because I'm like, people don't know how funny and cool he is until he let you in.
That's true.
When he let you in, is no you good for life. But that's if he true. Don't fuck with you, I bought, random story. I had this white guy working with me. Yo, by the way, I'm sorry, this is not the interview y'all want. This is my friend, so I gotta tell the story. I'm sorry, guys. So, you know, I got this new guy working with me. So I go see Jeff. You know, Jeff, by this time, we niggas, we cool. It's like, this is right around when 2 Chainz start blowing up. Cause I remember Tech was in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And Tech was like trying to figure out how they was gonna go forward with Def Jam. So, you know, Tech leaves and Jeff is like, yo. So Jeff's like, you know, you got a face. You got to take a play. So Jeff is like, so Jeff looks at me. I'm just talking like, yo, man, so blah, blah, blah. So he asked me. While I'm talking to Jeff, Jeff is, that's the white guy. Jeff is like. Who's this? So I said, so he says, hi, I'm Carl.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know, real white man shit. Like, I'm Carl. He's like, I gave him a little that, like, you the police? I'm dead serious, y'all. That's see how y'all bust out laughing? Yep. See how y'all bust out laughing? We all bust out laughing. Oh, even Carl. Jeff's like, so he does this little thing. He does. He's still an answer. Are you the police? Nigga was like, no, I'm not the police. He said, all right, good. Now we can talk. Nigga, I'm watching you, Ray. Ray, did you ask him, Ray? Then he tells me. I walked in with the nigga. That's my boy. And he tells me, man. Did you ask, was he the police, Ray? I'm like, I didn't think I needed to. Next time you better ask a nigga. You never know. They'll send the fucking feds or send people to watch it. I'm like, what? What the fuck are we talking about? Like, I'm in the fucking music business. But then I didn't know about the path and shit. I didn't know all of that. So once I understood, I was like, now it makes me cool. Now it makes sense. I just gotta tell that story because Jeff is incredible. But back to what I was saying. So I got to ask you something.
Okay.
How, so you mentor a lot of women. And obviously, by the way, I know everybody watching. I know it's Women's Month. I'm no, but.
Yes, happy Women's History Month.
Happy Women's History Month. So I'm going to talk to Aisha because Aisha mentors a lot. And all her mentees are up. I don't know one mentee that's down. So I'm going to ask you questions like for females in that want to come into business. Right, it was one girl. I'm gonna use in particular. I can't wait to talk about this later. I can put you in it, but I'm asking. She was basically saying, "I hate that the only way I can work with artists is if I fuck somebody," and I was like, "That's not my experience. I've seen it, but it was like outer skirts of the game. Like it's not in the game. Like it's too much proximity to do that." She was like, "I don't want to fuck, man, to fucking have to write a song. I just want to write songs." What would you tell a woman that feels like every time she walks in the room, a man is trying to use his power and position to get her to have sex at the dream of helping her, like, which happens a lot? What if your mentee came to you and said this was going through, what would you say?
First of all, I would ask, who is it?
Go ahead.
I would ask who it is.
I already said, you're going to call him. I know you're going to call him.
And then I would say, if that's not something you want to do, then you need to tell them. That's not what this is. I'm not here for that. I think a lot of times what happens with these young women and even some older women doing this thing is that they don't check it. they'll laugh it off or, oh, you so funny. Or, no. Nip that shit in the bud. Mm. We not fucking. I'm about business. What, you know,
if
what
we
doing.
Business, then.
And that's what it is. So anybody who is talking to me, I'm telling them. And that's women and men. You know, I mentor women and men.
Oh, I know.
You know, and tell them. And the real. Real conversations and being real with them.
Okay, so what if they're asking you how I want to be, I want to have a personal life outside of business? Because the one thing they don't tell you about this business is the business will silently, passive aggressively make you, let you know, if you ain't here, don't get mad if this goes and you ain't here. So
right.
Everybody has this FOMO thing, mm-hmm. where it's like, no sleep, no days off, nothing. Sleep when I'm dead. I just want, and I'm like.
And that's bullshit.
And that's bullshit. Yes, we had Shanti on the show, and Shanti mm-hmm. said, the one thing I wish I would have did better was take care of Shanti.
Yeah, she
so
said
like,
that to
what
me.
Would you say to women, like, because you, obviously, I've been knowing Aisha probably since 2008, 2009, and I met a man once. I know she has one. He exists. I've met him. But when I see you, I see you. So how are you able to balance the personal life and business total?
Well, because it's important to me to have a personal life. So that has to come from me first. You understand? Mm. And making that time and still doing what I need to do on the business side.
Yeah.
And there's just a way to do it. It's just balance. You don't have to
men
put that in front
men,
of people.
Men don't know balance.
You know, and you don't have to. Nobody has to know who it is, who you going out with, none of that.
That's not
that ain't
business.
None of their business.
I agree.
As long as you handling your business, your personal life is your personal life.
I agree.
And so you just have to decide how you want to do that and then just maneuver it so that it makes sense for you.
And I would say, get you a female mentor.
Oh, definitely.
And the reason why I say that is because when a woman he respects calls her, him, to say, that's my girl, it changes.
Yeah.
And by the way, we need more female mentors for that reason. That's the main reason why I wanted to.
Every time I speak on it, I'm talking like, about mentoring and mentorship.
Yeah.
And shout out to two of my mentees who are out here killing it.
Who?
Rachie Baby.
Yes, I saw it's one of the people I was thinking about. Rachie's over at YouTube killing
Rachie,
it.
No question.
And Shanae Corbett.
Shanae, no question. You know, Shanae was my work wife.
Yeah.
Well, Haleem was my brother, so I could say
yeah.
But that was all my projects, Chopper, everything I did, it was me and Shanae.
Well, that's, you know,
my,
she came through DTV.
And by the way, she is a, those two are very women who walk in their femininity.
Yes.
Like, don't hide their femininity.
Yes.
But niggas respect.
Yeah. And they about their business.
And,
about
and I can tell they, I can tell they're from the tree of Aisha, T.
Oh, definitely.
Obafemi.
Definitely.
The name. I could tell that because they, like, Shanae don't play.
At all.
And Rachie don't play. And they
at
still,
all.
Like, you know, so I definitely got to give you credit for that because that's a beautiful mm-hmm. thing. Like, you got. I just think you're dope. I know people probably listening, saying he's just keep praising him, but I know a lot of women in this game, and mm-hmm. I'm here to tell y'all, they don't move like Aisha and her mentees. You should start a crew.
I quietly have
a
crew.
You should call them a crew. They need to be called like the Aisha Mafia or some shit.
I don't want to be the mafia. We gonna come up with something else.
I'm just saying, but it's like it, all it is an organization of people who move together with a thought process. It could be looked at as bad, but it's like, you know, they have different mafias everywhere, and you know if you fuck with those people.
Different that mafia. Word. This is mafia.
Oh, I like that.
What?
I
went to Aisha University. Don't play with me. Hi, I'm such and such. I went to Aisha University. Don't now, a nigga, no. I'm not gonna even think about it. Not gonna try it if I want to. I don't want. And by the way, if Aisha calls you and it goes left, she has brothers that don't play. They have brothers that don't
sure
play.
Do.
It's an army of niggas that don't play. So everybody will want to keep the peace.
But they know I don't play.
But they know I don't play.
Yeah.
So I definitely have to.
But
give
yeah, I
you
mean mentorship. You know, speaking of that, let's talk about how it actually just progresses and turns into something beautiful that you didn't know it would turn into. Mm-hmm. So, when a mentee becomes your business partner, so a lot of people don't know.
I always say
when Dora,
I'm gonna get. I start on the agency.
Dora Whitley and Mike Whitley are my business partners in the Whitley Agency. When Dora first moved to Atlanta, I was her mentor.
I know.
And now
y'all bosses.
We're business partners.
Pinky, Cole, and everything y'all got going.
And the thing about that is, I know that I'm not the smartest person in the room, and I never act like I am. But I'm going to surround myself with those who are. And Dora Den Whitley.
Smart as a motherfucker.
Shit. Smart as a whip.
Smart as a mother. And gets it done.
Yes,
with
he,
the baby
yes, she
in
does.
Hand.
Yep.
That's what I love about y'all. Like, yes, y'all prove. That's why I think my sister's obsessed with them too. Like, obsessed with them too. Like, look at them,
we
look
love
at them,
Tiffany.
Look at them. I'm like,
love her.
They move. They move like, geez.
What are you supposed to? Right.
That's yeah.
It. So you have an agency. Can you tell us about your agency?
So, the Whitley Agency. We are an agency of record. We handle communications, business management, publicity, marketing, branding, scaling businesses, preparing them to scale.
I seen it.
Whatever's needed, we're doing it.
And
doing it well.
I'm about to say, you guys.
We have some.
But
you
not
know,
forget to say,
have
and
some amazing,
it.
Have some I mean, amazing
y'all,
clients.
Y'all, the machine behind Pinky. Like,
yes,
when
Pinky
when
Cole
Pinky
and
Cole's
Derek Hayes.
Doing her interview and her husband. Yeah, Derek Hayes. And y'all, when Pinky in here doing her interview on her pregnant stomach, Aisha and Dora sitting right there staring at me like, you better not. I'm kind of like, why would I? I'm cool. I'm like, but they look at me like, we watching. I'm like, I'm going to get y'all ass on this motherfucking couch. I'm going to get your ass on this couch. Dora, you and Mike coming next. We need to do a Whitley agency.
Yes, we need
to
that.
Do that. We should. I have an idea. We should do. See, I'm all about content. I'm all about storytelling. And I'm all about.
We do. And we do need to tell more of these stories. And let's talk about the fact that the Whitley Agency, we're headquartered here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
But we also have an office in Paris.
Yep.
And Yaoundé.
Flex.
Cameroon.
It's global.
Africa. We do a lot of work on the continent, on the motherland.
Yeah, help us. Need help.
Yeah.
Like Mark, when Mel Martin said, I got bills. Remember on that episode? I got bills. I want to get to the yams. Yeah, we get to the yams. I just had to do that. That was funny. I had to do that. So when you guys, my problem, you heard me say this earlier. I got my boy Troy here. I tell everybody around me, I've been telling you for 10 years, talk. Everybody around me, I'm like, talk, talk, talk. Because if we don't, because it's something about our community.
It's interesting because I didn't do a lot of talking.
I know, but here's the thing. It's something about
our
community.
And everybody's telling me I have to.
You have to because our community don't have heroes. So when you say if kids want to be drug dealers, they only want to be drug dealers because that's who they see every day. So you might not show up to the hood, but you can definitely show them that you exist some way, somehow. So they can say, I could be that. They might not even know they could be that. If I tell y'all now, if y'all saw Aisha life firsthand, y'all want to be Aisha. She's lit. I see her everywhere. You see her at the All-Star game, she's everywhere. Everywhere you want to be, she's there. Sitting front row with, she's there. And for me, I just want to give you that. I want to give you your credit. We don't get flowers on the show. You know that. We don't get flowers. Fuck flowers.
I appreciate
flowers die.
That.
I want to give you credit. Mm-hmm. Credit I could leverage.
I appreciate that.
Credit I could take and do something with. So I got you. So you also a part of the team that manages my high school classmate, Ludacris.
Yes.
How was that for you? Like being in that mix? Like what was like?
It was fast paced and fun. Like you talking about 0 to 100, like real quick. But I mean, it was fun doing it with my brothers and, you know, our dad was around and he would be on the road with us. And
that's my dog.
We went to Africa. The first time I went to Africa.
Was it?
Before that was with my mother and my father. And that was, wow, what year was that? I can't even think right now, but that's when MTV was still shooting the Vacation Crib.
Yes.
So we shot in Cape Town.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, it was that far. Oh, you gotta go.
I've been twice.
Amir got the thing in Tasmania.
Yeah, we going, because I'm going. You coming?
What date is it?
December. Oh, it's on social. December 3rd through the 8th.
Third,
beginning of the
third,
month.
I can, no, if it's the end of the month,
no,
I
beginning.
Come.
It's the beginning.
Beginning, I could come because I ain't never been to Africa, and I'll say I'm not going without
people. Oh yeah, you gotta go.
I'm not going without people.
Gotta go. I haven't been to Tanzania yet.
I'm not getting fucked up. I love everybody, but listen, I need somebody to tell me don't go
there. Yeah,
because if you go there, they're gonna beat your ass. Go right. That's what love is. I just want one guy. Or if they do get me, they're like, nah, he's good. I'm telling you, I think I am going. I want to go. So y'all managing Ludacris and
Running the label.
And running
Chingy. So at the height of the label DTP, we had 17 artists.
And y'all had a big wall with all of them on the wall.
Yes.
Willie North Pole.
Yes.
Shauna Sharifa.
Bobby Valentino. Player Circle.
We had a
what was the group from North Carolina?
Rock group called Lazy Eye.
Yes.
And then
what was the guy from North Carolina?
North Click.
But they had one of them was a solo artist. Small World. Because y'all was pushing Small World. Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, y'all had a lot of fucking. I worked a lot of those records.
I worked a lot of those records.
You worked those records?
Oh yeah.
Oh, I worked a whole lot of them. Yeah. I used to be in that DTP. She'll tell you every day.
Okay, so looking back at that, what would you say? Let's do different right now, guys.
Now,
if you could go back, know what you know now, go back, because I think he's a Virgo like me, so I'm gonna just speak for Virgos. I can see that being Tit's problem, feeling like I'm the fucking one. I'm the next one, y'all, and it's fucking 50 niggas on a poster. But then Willie North Pole felt
always supported Tit.
But the Virgo energy, I just know it kind of like, don't put me, I won't get my own he did it. That's why he went on his own shit. But it was a lot of, I feel like at that moment, that was probably the most stressful time of y'all life, because y'all had employees.
Mm-hmm.
We talking about Ken, Ivory, PK, Dean. Who else was over there? Tawny.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all had Greg.
Yep.
Like, y'all had employees.
Yeah, it was Portia. Like, mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And, I'm this one now, I forget, Shaka's a sister.
Lauren.
Lauren. Yeah. I wanted to call her Rachel for some reason because you said Rachel, but Lauren, y'all had employees. Y'all the reason why I wanted employees. That was incredible. I wasn't jealous though, Camilla. I ain't gonna say I'm jealous of that.
Full staff. And then in New York, we had Alamo.
Brand Nubian.
Mm-hmm. And Jeff.
Well, Jeff was back and forth.
So. And when he was in New York, it was a big picture on the wall of Jeff's face.
Yes, Jeff's face.
Looking at you. And I never forget. You know, I'm in there with Tawny one night. I'm like, yo, what's up? And she was like, and I'm like, but he's not there. She's like, nah, you understand that.
I think it said he's always watching.
She said, you understand, this nigga always watching, Ray. He's watching. We'll talk after work about anything you want to talk about. It was like, that is respect.
We had to make it fun. But to answer your question,
okay,
I don't think that I would change anything, because there's some, you know, pains that you have to go through. And people have to find their way and find their purpose and what they're supposed to do. We had a hell of a run with all of those artists. And I mean, having all of those artists on the roster at one time, you're talking about busy, but it was fun.
Budgets.
All of that.
Budgets.
And then managing. Who's going with this one? Who's going with that one? Yes. Who's going to be over here with this one? So that's why I met
Tiffany J, because Tiffany J was managing Willie North Pole.
Yep.
My trainer was fucking Willie. What's Sirius Jones manager?
Oh yeah, yeah. We had Sirius Jones for a minute.
Too. I remember that.
Yep. We had Mr. Everything. What's his Steph Jones?
Steph Jones. And what's the kid y'all was pushing that played the piano?
Oh, Rudy Currency.
Rudy Currency. Mm-hmm. Yes,
nigga. I pull up. Shaka told me pull up to an event. You got walking to see Rudy Currency, Quincy Jones sitting there watching him play. Like, I'm like, nigga, y'all niggas, how y'all doing this shit?
Yo, that dude. Nigga, I remember I watched that dude play the piano.
Let me tell you something. There's nobody. If you're an artist and you're watching this, do not get mad at me. Do not DM me. Do not curse me out. There's no way you hang around Shaka, more Shaka Aisha than Jeff, because Jeff ain't. I'm talking about artists that if you assign to DTP, the key to blowing yourself up is just go where Shaka go. Because he got all the relationships, everybody love him, and he's going to throw you the ball. Be like, yo, this is my artist, boom, boom, boom. That's all you had to do to blow up. Roll with Zulu. That was it. Just roll with him and you was fine, nigga, no matter what. So I'm like, if you didn't blow up back then.
It was definitely going to put you in the right.
If you wasn't blowing up back then. That's because you was lazy. Because as soon as Tit.
Well, I always say, I can't want it more than you.
That's my point.
And I used to tell artists that. I can't want it more than you. Like, I can give you the blueprint, tell you the great marketing plans, video. So I was marketing, video commissioner, artist development, publicist when I needed to be, and sometimes a stylist.
Yes.
For Player Circle's first album, me and Ivory were the fashionistas. If you look at the credit, styling by the fashionistas, that was me and Ivory.
Crazy, that's dope. Shout out to Ivory.
Shout out to Ivory Williams, no question.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie.
Hey, Ivory!
Because I ain't gonna lie. And these, by the way, these are historic stories, but y'all had to be there to see it. It was like nothing like it in Atlanta.
Yeah. And I saw Ivory when we were in LA. Her and I went to breakfast.
She's a flight attendant now, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I know that. She's a flight attendant.
But she lives in LA.
When you go, when you being around that shit inspired me to build what I built. Like, I mm-hmm. want to have that feeling. I remember being in Shaka's.
And it's a place like, for people to call home, like you said, and giving back. Like, it's a place for people to come and be.
That, but that's what the and music that's, needs. That's yes. what music needs that more than ever. Music needs a place where artists can go, even if it's just to pick up on lingo. Like, niggas said they would go to Def Jam just to shoot dice.
Yep. And then for our children to see and to be able to come there, and because our children would just
raise in there. Yeah, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something funny. Lil Jeff, he had to be about 13, 14. This kid sat me in a corner and talked to me about this new artist named Kid Cudi.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, nigga, it was like, he made me want to know. I was like, how do I know this shit? He was like, Cudi is this, Cudi is that. He's the future. Like, still loves it. Like, that's the type of shit you mm-hmm. want to be around. You got this nigga arguing with Kanye manager about rolling out Luda shit. I got his son telling me about this new artist, Kid Cudi, coming up. And all this shit is going on. I'm like, damn, this is what it's supposed to feel like.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, that's all I want this to feel like. When Rick, mm-hmm. when I'm on my way to the office, I'm like, you don't got to ask me. Just pull up, set up in the room. Like, I love, this is inspired by y'all. Yeah. That's what I'm really trying to say. Just don't have a podcast room. This serves as that little private area.
Yeah.
Between the lounge.
Yes.
And Luda office.
Yes. Little you know I made
nobody
that.
Goes to.
I made that.
This is that for me.
I
like,
made that.
Yes. They got a little private room, like kind of secret room at the office. And it was kind of like Luda's.
You're talking about the Atlanta one.
Mm. Yeah. It's not as protected now. It used to be really
it's a little
protected.
Different now.
It was like, don't even look in there. And Luda had the office right across from me. Mm-hmm. So it was like, mm-hmm. I just love y'all. So. Yeah. Ricky, I didn't think I'm like, I'm taking over.
Okay.
I'm like, I just love y'all family, so I'm
going for my show. Temperature like when everything was going around with all this East West Coast stuff, like
ooh.
The family. What was the temperature like?
I mean, like I would say even now, like I don't argue with people about who's better, Biggie or Pac,
because Pac's your cousin.
Facts.
So I mean, and what I will say though. Is that Biggie loved Pac.
Of course.
That's no, yes.
So when Pac was shot at Quad and I went to Bellevue, in the movie you see one version, but it was actually me who told Ooh. Biggie that Pac doesn't want to see you.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Mm.
That's yes. crazy. At Bellevue, and he showed up by himself.
Big.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's some shit I ain't never heard before. That's
ever. First time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
She dropped it here.
Wow.
No, I got a question. I'm sorry. If you, your understanding of who Tupac was and where do you think he's at right now if he's alive? Like. She know the answer to that shit. Right. I'm just curious because my mind is like, it's like, you know, like Pac.
This
dying.
Game sure would look a lot different.
Yes, it would.
It would look way different.
Yes, it would.
It would look a lot different.
A lot of the real would still be in it.
A lot different. A
lot different.
I mean, the fact that it's 2024, we still.
Nobody's more influential than him.
Still.
Nobody.
Making an impact. Like, he's still. Being talked about and what if and
yeah.
you know and seeing people now emulating doing these shoots and stuff where they're redoing
yeah
like his Yaquiz
did it Yaquiz
yeah
did it,
I'm
yeah.
like whoa okay
that's crazy
when I went to when he got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that's
amazing
that was
in itself
surreal probably
it was incredible
mm.
yeah it was I couldn't believe it like this whole place is filled with people who were singing the songs it's crazy.
One more. I'm sorry. She's inspired me. You guys are Pac's cousin, but you guys are also known for managing one of the greatest rappers out of Atlanta in the game,
oh, yeah.
Ludacris. Why didn't it seem like a natural progression is Ludacris doing a song with a Pac verse? Because a lot of people did it. Keisha Cole did it. Trick Daddy did it. Like a lot of people got.
And that's why Pac. It wasn't done.
Why?
Because everybody's doing it. He don't
y'all had
that.
The rights though. Like, yeah, but this my, like y'all got verses. This is my family.
It's not a special. Yeah, but it, everybody's doing it.
Yeah, you don't need to.
I just thought it would have been like, you know, like something. Because yeah, it's like, you don't need to. Damn, everybody did a song with Pac after he was gone. Mm-hmm. Like, Ludacris is the only person that could have did it. And nobody would have had nothing to say because who his family is. And he never did it.
Mm-hmm.
It's never even been a thought to y'all.
No.
That's crazy.
They don't need to do it. You don't need to do it.
I don't know what else to ask. I'm sorry. I'm like, you've given everything. I'm just, because I'm like.
I mean, it's probably way more stuff, but you know, it's a lot. This is only, we only got a certain amount of time.
Is there anything you want to just say? Because I got to do credit check with you.
Well, I want to shout out all the amazing women in my life who raised me to be the strong black woman that I am.
Mm.
I want to speak to the women who are in my circle, close and adjacent, and tell them that you are loved, you are seen, you are important, and you are valued.
Mm.
And to never let anyone, I don't give a damn who it is, tell you that you are not the most amazing thing walking on this planet. Because women rule the world.
Everything that, we men, are behind everything that men do is to impress
women. Everything.
Everything
yes.
that men do is to impress women.
Agreed. And we need to embrace our superpower.
Yeah. Agreed. I agree. I'm not going to even follow that. So I want to ask you this last thing I'm going to ask. We have this segment called Credit Check.
Mm-hmm.
Here we give credit. Who are some people that are unsung heroes in the Aisha story that you just feel like, I want to shout them out, give them some credit because they played a role?
Wow. It's a few, but if we're talking about music industry people.
Yeah.
Sharon Benjamin Hodo.
Okay.
Andre 3000's mom was my mentor.
Really?
Yes. And may she rest in heavenly peace. Mm-hmm. Yes, she was my mentor. And like the most down to earth, tell you how it is, what it is. You know, she might curse a little bit, but it's okay.
Then Andre say something about her smoking cigarettes. Like, I hope they don't let you smoke cigarettes.
Mama Benjamin was the truth. When I tell you I miss that woman,
yeah,
God, I miss her.
To me, his Life of the Party is one of the greatest songs ever made. And it's not even a great, like, it's just two brothers talking to their mom.
Yes, yes. And she was amazing. And, you know, thankful for 3000 for sharing his mama with us. Because he's an only child.
Yes. Oh, he is.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah.
But shared his mama and Patti Webster.
Mm-hmm. Patti Webster.
Patti Webster. She was a celebrity publicist to so many, including Chris. Mm. And she taught me a lot about publicity and just how to maneuver and do things. Mm-hmm. She was my big sister.
Mm.
And, you know, she's the reason that a lot of things that we have done. She told y'all just get on out there and do these things, you know. Don't be shy, you know. Just get out here and just make it happen.
I got more.
So she's the reason why I could walk Chris down a red carpet in Monaco when she wasn't there.
Mm,
I could
act. She trained you
as a. Oh yeah.
Oh, that's.
I know what outlets to know go to and whatnot, and all of those things.
I just got to do one thing. I'm sorry. Female rap. Female rap. Should I eyebrow go up? I saw the eyebrow go up. Female rap. I know we're done, I'm just going to ask, how do you feel about today's state of female rap? First part, and the second part, after you say that, what would you say to all of the young ladies out there that admire what's happening right now? Like, just your thoughts.
I would love to see more togetherness.
Okay.
Like it was, you know, in the heyday. Of Moni and Queen Latifah and, you know, all of them. I want to see that.
Mm.
We don't have to fight each other. Like, I don't know why they fighting each other like that. It's enough space out here for everybody.
And it's not even,
like I said, what's for you is for you. So nobody can take anything from you. Mm-hmm. Nobody can steal your shine or do any of that. You can do that all by yourself.
Exactly.
You know, if that's what you're going to do.
Sure.
So I think that they need mentors. They need to be talking to someone who's going to assist them in ensuring that they have longevity in their careers.
They need to all go to Aisha T. University. I'm serious. Like, Cause,
and it don't have to be me. There's plenty of people out here for them to talk to.
But yeah, but nobody talks like you. Nobody plenty of people. Nah, nobody. Trust me. You still speak from a strength standpoint. Sometimes women speak from a pleading standpoint. Like, can y'all stop? Why are we doing this? You don't do that. You like, stop. It's enough.
Yeah, just
like
just
real stop. Mama voice type. You know, like that's how mamas would talk to you. Like, don't fucking pay attention.
I mean, that's my personality. Exactly. I've been a mama.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm looking at you're making right now. So yeah. I get it. But like, I just, and if you're talking to young ladies that want to be a part of this hip hop culture, this music industry, what is your, do you have like three things they need to know? One thing they need to know, like, because for me, as much as I'm enjoying this conversation and I'm being very selfish, I'm not going to lie, because I love talking to you. This is about women and them watching. So I want to at least get that out.
Yeah, definitely.
So if there are women that want to be a part of this thing called hip hop, what would be your advice to them?
One, ensure that this is something that you want to do. Don't just do it because, or say that you want to be a part of it because it's something that people are enamored by. You know, I am a child of music. You know, I didn't mention it earlier, but at one point I was going to be an artist, as I also sing.
I heard that. No, you sung somewhere. I saw you sung somewhere. You sung somewhere for me. No, you rapped a poem.
Probably my apartheid rap.
At our TEDx.
Oh, that was my apartheid rap. So, yes.
We did a TEDx
Ray and I did a TEDx talk, and what year was that?
2021.
21. And
never came out.
I'm editing my own, and I'm getting ready to put it
out. I should do that too.
Yeah, my nephew did it. And I did rap. I did a rap. Our topic was very black, and I did a rap that I wrote when I was 16 about apartheid.
Yep. And you performed that. You did your TEDx. Yep. I'm like, I seen you perform somewhere. I seen that.
I did.
You did a poem. It had us all clapping our hands. Yeah, like, yeah, you brought the light. Was you there, Camilla? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I cried
good.
At the end. Jeff was like, Shaka came to me. He was like, yo, Jeff shed a tear what you said at the end.
You
like,
did
damn.
Good. Yeah. I was good.
I'm going to edit mine. I got mine. Jordan,
yeah, let's
just put on YouTube.
We gonna edit them and put them out around the same
premiere.
Time.
We do our own premiere.
Yes, we gonna
do our own premiere.
And we have a watch party.
But yes. Everybody was there. We have a watch party. But I'll tell you this: what you should do, what we should do is, you should do some kind of Shark Tank. You and Dora, the Whitley Agency, and we can organize together. But somewhere in Atlanta, just as a give back, right? Just like, like it could be here. It could be at your office. I feel like at your office, but it could be something where it's just like, young ladies can come up and just pitch what they're trying and what they want to do.
I love that. I did for the Girls United Summit. When was it? Last year? The end of last year? Yeah. Was it? Could have been January. This time be going so good. I'm like, I think it was January.
Mm-hmm.
That Rachel Dennis, Rachel Luz Dennis' daughter, runs. Mm. Rachie was the host of it.
Mm.
And I actually took part in the speed mentoring
mm.
with young women. So there were several of us at a table, and the young women came up and they had like 90 seconds to pitch to us. And so from that, like, I keep in touch with a lot of them because they all, what's your number? Can I contact you? Yes, you can. I'll never say no.
But we should do it, and you should turn it into content because there could be young girls out there who could learn from, like, my mother's favorite show is Shark Tank.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you learn a lot of business from watching those shows. So I'm just imagining you guys, because
doing that, Aisha, I'm down.
Aisha's powerful. If you see her other hat, I cannot believe Mike works. If I was Mike, I'd be like, I don't want to do this. Mike is Dora's husband. I'd be like, oh. Y'all are so powerful. Like, y'all spirits, y'all energy, y'all got that ancestors behind y'all. And I just think it'd be beautiful to have young girls be able to come and just say, here's what I'm trying to do. And it could just be something simple as Whitley mentoring, the Whitley Agency mentoring program. And we could probably, I would love to help because I feel like I know a little something about how to make it wide.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, that would be something that I would pay to see.
Yeah.
Because I would love to see, we all trying to figure out how to get generational wealth. That's a new term. I didn't hear that word in the 90s.
Right.
I never heard that word in the 2000s.
It starts with education, like financial literacy.
And you guys are so sharp. And I'm just imagining a young girl that's like, I want to do this. And it could be something simple as I rap or I sing. And it's like, you know what? I'm going to connect you to Ray.
Right.
That costs you nothing. Right. And now you send them to somebody or you want to do this. And I just feel like we need to see something like that on a BET over.
We do.
over an impact. No disrespect to impact, because that's P and coach them shit. But it's not, it's giving you the fluff, and we need to get a little bit of the making of.
Right.
And to me, that's what I would love to put together with you guys, because you guys are superheroes. Last question is, this is the God Show, which is an acronym for GOATs and Underdogs. Do you consider yourself a GOAT or underdog?
A GOAT.
Motherfucking right. Right.
That's right. I knew that was before you asked that question. I knew she was going to say that.
What are we talking about? That shit. But I didn't finish talking to the women, the young
women. Go ahead, finish.
So aside from what I said, get you a mentor and get you more than one. It doesn't have to just be one. And surround yourself with people who see you and your vision. Because if people are around hating on you, then they're not for you.
Exactly.
So, you know, and that could be anybody.
She's looking at
family,
the camera. Keep going.
Whatever.
Don't stop. No, don't look at me.
It could be
I love
family
that.
Or whoever it is. It don't matter. If you see what you want to do, then you need to get out there and make it happen. And don't let nobody stop you.
And lean on women. These new women in this game are not like these old women.
Definitely.
There's
nothing like
hazing now.
There's nothing like my sisterhood with my girlfriend.
I have a lot of them.
And a lot of them in this business, too. I have a lot of them, and I love them, and we have each other's back. We support each other, call each other up when you're doing things, you know, and I'll post on my page, whatever's happening.
You support all your people.
Yes.
I love that. Well, Aisha, I just want to tell you, you are a GOAT. We don't allow people to sit in this seat on a God Show unless they're GOATed, because why would I let an underdog sit here and tell about them trying? That's what Art of Spotlight. This conversation is for GOATs who can teach other people that look like them how to be better, how to be great.
And that's all I'm here to do.
And by the way, it's a room full of men. Let's all clap for this black woman.
Right.
And celebrate her.
Thank you.
And we want you to know, if y'all come with her, if y'all fuck with her, y'all going, it's, I'm telling y'all, just don't. It's going to be it's an army of us.
True story.
Every country. It is, and by the way, it is 5%ers. It's the Crips and Bloods. It's motherfucking the police. It's the FBI. It's just kind of like, leave her alone, bro. Black Panthers. It's just like, let her live. Aisha, we love you. We celebrate you. Shout out to our sponsors. Shout out to our sponsors. Shout out to Two Laws Distribution. Shout out to Yoko Vaca. Shout out to Tote and Carry. And shout out to KL. H2O. The fact that I know all that shit and I get it out, gotta give me props.
You did
this
that.
Is the God Show. We are out.
Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.